Imagine,
what did Twilight Zone always come out? Imagine, if you will. Imagine, if you will, you walk into your kitchen, and on the table, there's a note. I get those all the time. Margie leaves me sticky notes. Usually it's, Paul, don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget you know, and obviously I forget a lot. But imagine you walk in, and you see that note, and it simply reads, I want your heart today, signed God. I want your heart today. What would you do? Would you feel maybe comfort in that? Would you feel convicted in that? Maybe would you feel surprised? Hey, God wrote me a note? I don't know. But that's the essence of what Jesus says when he's asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, before God wants you to do anything for him, you know, go out and save the world, go out and preach the gospel, go out and baptize, go out and do these things. Before God asks you to do anything, God invites you to be with someone. And that someone is him. He wants you to become a lover of God. In Matthew, this is what Jesus said, chapter 22, verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Before we ever do anything for God, he calls us to be something. He calls us to be people that are in love with him. And that's where our mission begins. We cannot love others. We cannot make disciples unless we love God first. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So Jesus is telling them the greatest commandment is to love God with everything. With everything of who you are, love God. Fall in love with the Creator. Fall in love with the Master. So the foundation of our whole mission of Three Point Bible Church is simply to love God. Loving God is the foundation. That has to be where everything is built from. Jesus doesn't start with, go on mission. Go serve the poor. Go take care of the outcast. Go out and preach the gospel. He doesn't start with that. What he starts with is love God. And so a checkup from the neck up, do you love God? When Jesus responds to this question, when he's asked, he's not offering a new law. As a matter of fact, he's quoting something that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. This is the Shema. And the Shema is what good, faithful Jewish people say every morning and every evening. It's the prayer that they pray. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And that passage doesn't begin with a command. It begins with a declaration of identity. It begins with, hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you are to love that Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. It's a call first to remember who God is. And what he's done. And then to respond with love. And that's important because we're not worshiping some distant deity that is a demanding boss. I mean, so many times in religions, you have a leader. And the idea is you don't want to make the leader mad. I don't want to make the guy mad. You know, I don't want to make Allah mad. I don't want to make Buddha mad. I don't want to make Muhammad mad. I don't want to make whoever mad. I just want to do things to try to earn favor and to win points. But the foundational difference between religion and a relationship is religion says you got to perform. You got to show me what you got. And then I'll accept you. But the relationship and the gospel says, you know what? You're accepted because of what I've done. You're already accepted. So come on and love the one who loves you. And that's why love has to come first. Before there were commandments, before God gave commandments, there was a covenant. Before action, there's always affection. This isn't about checking spiritual boxes. Okay, I went to church this many times. I read this many prayers. I read the Bible here. Oh, I got called on and was embarrassed in class, but I gave a prayer anyway, God. It's a love that isn't rooted in guilt. It's rooted in grace because he loved you first. He loved me first. So before we try to do more for God, we need to maybe ask, do I know him or am I just working for him? Am I just doing things because it's what a good Christian is supposed to do? Or is it because I'm really in love with him and I just want to share and I want to be what he wants me to be? Is my doing flowing from my loving him or out of a sense of duty? Do I love him with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with all my strength? Love God is the foundation. And Jesus doesn't just leave it there. Jesus doesn't just say, hey, love God. He defines how we're supposed to do it, and he breaks it down into three things. He says we are to love him with our heart, our soul, and our mind. The heart, that's the center of our desires and emotions. I mean, what do you crave? What are the things in your life that you're really passionate about? What delights you? That's your heart. What burdens you? What do you desire most deeply? And that'll tell you where your heart is. Your soul, that's the essence of your identity and your purpose. It's the deepest part of who you are. It's not just what you feel, but it's who you are when no one is watching, when no one is around. Who or what defines you? And then your mind, that's our thoughts, our beliefs, our worldviews, the things that shape us. Are you letting Fox News or CNN shape you, control your mind? Are we letting culture dictate to us what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's truth, what's not truth? That's why renewing our mind is so vital and so important. Paul says this in his letter to the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, there's an old adage, man, if it sounds good, too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true, right? We hear so many competing philosophies and life choices and things that are hitting us from society, and it sounds okay on the outside. I think, you know, John Lennon, when he said, love is all you need. All you need is love. Jason, I was waiting for the little trumpet there. But all you need is love. Yeah, all we need is love. But the problem is we're not capable of that. Look at our world without Christ. Look at our world without a love for others. Look at our love with, I mean, our world without a sacrificial love for others. What is it? It's whatever you can get. There will still be battles. There will still be wars. People want more and more and more, and people will step on other people because we are incapable of being true lovers without Christ. Oh, it'll happen in spurts. You know, I'm going to wake up today. I'm going to read my devotion. I'm going to go out in the world and I'm going to be a great lover. I'm going to love everybody I see until I get in the car and I start down 75 heading towards McDonough and the traffic stops. And those big tractor trailers will not stay in the right lane. They won't even stay in the second to the right lane. They get all the way over in the left lane and this lane here. And I'm telling you, that's wrong. Where's my love? Without my love and seeing those other people as Jesus sees them, it's nothing. We do a lot of marriage counseling before we do a wedding. And it's important that we lay this foundation. A lot of times young people will come in, no, we just love each other, man. That's all we need is love. All you need is love, right? Love's a many splendored thing. Love lifts us up where we belong. Love is just all these, you know, ooh, just good, gushy feelings, right? No. Love is a commitment. Love takes much, much more. I tell my people when we are doing the marriage counseling that it's easy to have a great wedding. Oh, you'll get stressed out about it, you know. Oh, what color are the tablecloths? Oh, you can't put so-and-so at this table because they're sitting close to this person. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff that will cause you stress at a wedding, but the wedding is a celebration. And the wedding is this big thing, and it's great. But after the celebration, what happens? When life starts, when you roll over first thing in the morning and you see that partner for the first time without them having to put on that face, when you were dating, you know how you just couldn't wait? I can't stand to be away from you. I can't wait to be with you. And you see them in the morning and they go, hi. And you go, oh, the wedding's over, y'all.
This is where the marriage begins. And loving God is the same. It's not just this one-time prayer that we make. It's not just one emotional moment where we come down the aisle and we give our lives to Christ and we feel the Holy Spirit pour down on us in power and we can't wait to get baptized. We in fact, when he gets ready to dunk us in the water, man, we barely go under because we want to walk on water just like Jesus and we are filled with the Spirit and we get up and everybody's clapping going like, yeah, another baptism. And then we leave out the doors and we're on this high and then we go to work on Monday. And life starts. And we forget who we are in Christ. We forget about the celebration because now the rubber is meeting the road. A healthy relationship doesn't survive just on a great wedding. It requires showing up daily. You don't stop investing or pursuing or communicating because the moment a spouse stops showing up in every day, is the moment the relationship begins to suffer. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. We give Him our life, but it has to be a daily motion, a daily rhythm with Him. And some of us think that maybe it's a lack of discipline. Maybe the deeper issue is a lot of us have an out-of-order love life. St. Augustine said this, sin is not just doing bad things. It's loving good things in the wrong order. Maybe you love your success more than surrender. Maybe you love approval more than obedience to Him. Maybe you love your comfort more than you love communion with the fellowship of believers. So what gets your first attention in the morning? What is the first thing when you open your eyes, first thing that gets attention in the morning? What captures your imagination most deeply? We do the devotion. I've got it where that's the first thing I do in the morning. Well, actually, I got to be transparent and confess. The first thing I do in the morning is when I roll over, I evaluate all the aches and pains that are going on in my legs, and in my back, and my shoulder. And then I do the devotion because the first thing I want to do in the morning is I want to spend time with God. I don't want to check my emails. I don't want to check Facebook or social media posts to see how many thumbs up I got on something or to find out what the latest scuttlebutt is on stuff. I don't even watch the news. People are calling me and texting me about all of this stuff that happened in DeKalb County the other day, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Because I will not watch the news. Because there's nothing good ever on the news. I mean, the Russians could take over our country right now. I would have no clue. I'd just be wondering why everybody's getting in their car driving crazy. Because I want to spend time with God first. Because that centers and sets everything right. And then everything else falls into place around that. Because I remember that He's on the throne no matter what's going on out there, no matter what's going on in here, God is still on the throne. I want that relationship with Him. My love for God, is it personal or is it just kind of functional? I just pull it out when I need it and use it when I need it. So we love God with our heart, our soul, and our mind, and our strength. And now loving God means seeking God. I think about the psalmist David wrote this, "You, God, are my God, and earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." When you read those words, this is not duty. He's not just doing this out of duty. This is from his heart, and he's pouring it out because it's a delight to him. God, I desire you, and I am earnestly seeking you. I am thirsting and hungering for you, and my whole being longs for you. And David's not seeking him because he had to, but because he wanted to. Because he knew, just like we sang, nothing else will satisfy. He is our honey in the rock. David isn't in a palace when he writes this. He's in the wilderness. He's dry. He's tired. He's being pursued. And yet what does he crave? Water? No. Safety? No. Justice? No. He's desiring God. He longs for Him. And that's what love looks like. It turns to God when we're in the desert. Instead of looking around for things that could help us in the immediate, we turn to God. We turn to God in the desert, not just in the garden when everything's going well. We often measure love by passion. You know, if I'm passionate about something, I must really love something. But God measures it by obedience and pursuit. Not how loud we sing. Not how high we raise our hands. Not how loud we say amen after a point or a song. But how constantly we seek Him. Not how often we serve, but how deeply we stay connected. So is our pursuit for God, if it feels heavy, if it feels cold, if it feels distant, if God feels like maybe He's turned away from us, maybe we need to say, have we turned our love for God into a checklist? I mean, think about the things that we do spiritually. Prayer, scripture, worship. These aren't obligations to check off. You know, we have a plan for the church. We will start with praise and worship. Then we'll do a time of prayer, a time of offering. And then we do a time of where we do the word. And then sometimes we do communion. And then sometimes we do sharing of testimonies. And sometimes we do prayers for the people. Sometimes we do those things. And it seems like, oh, there's an order. I remember growing up in the Methodist church, the first thing that, what's the bulletin? And we would follow the bulletin. And a lot of times as a young kid, I'm following the bulletin thinking like, when's this getting over? You know, when are we getting out of here? We got to beat those Baptists to the mall. There was a, gosh, I can't even remember what the place in the mall. Everybody went and ate, but it was just packed, you know, and you just had to get there before the Baptists got there. So when are we going to land the plane? So those of you that are thinking that, we're going to be here till 2. So just. It's a relationship. And we need to do a relationship maintenance. And I tell the marriage people that I meet with them when I do the premarital counseling is communication is the biggest thing. You've got to stay connected. And you have got to be for your partner. You've got to love your partner more than you love yourself at times, you know? Think of your deepest and closest friendships or your marriage. The point is, you don't just say the right words. You don't just check in once a week with them. I think many breakdowns in relationships is because there's tension or something happens, and it's like, I'll do something stupid, but then I apologize. And I think everything's going to be okay. And then I keep doing the same thing, and then I just apologize again. And that same cycle goes over and over and over again. And you're just kind of showing up whenever it's convenient. The point is not just to say the right words or check in once a week. It's the daily text. It's the intentional time. It's laughing together. It's crying together. It's being present with each other. And why should our relationship with God be any different than that? If your spiritual walk feels dry, don't start with discipline. Okay, I need to spend more time in prayer. I need to spend more time. I don't know. I've got to. No, first thing first, love God. Just spend time in His presence. Pray to Him. Even if you don't know what to say, it says when we don't know what to say, we don't know what's going on in the deepest part of us. The Holy Spirit is grunting and groaning for us. He knows what's going on in our heart. And there are sometimes, even when I've been asked to pray for a large group and I'll start the prayer and then halfway through, I'm like, God, I don't even know what to say. Someone hits you with the situation and they're telling you this, 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 and this, and your eyes go like this. It's like, I don't even know how you're surviving. God, I don't even know what to say in this. But You know. He just wants our presence. So we start where Jesus starts, and that's loving God. Because we cannot live our mission and go out into this world to make disciples and to love others if we don't love God with everything that's in us first. And you can't love God deeply if you don't spend time with Him daily. So where do we start? We don't start with action. We start with our affection. God, I love You. We don't start by going somewhere and doing these things. We start by just being with Him. We don't even start with the world. I got to go out and do this. I got to do this. No, you don't. You got to start with worship. And that worship begins with you and God, and it's a personal thing. God's mission starts with a simple invitation. I want your heart. I want your heart. I loved you so much that I sent my son to die for you so that we could be back in relationship. I created you in my image. I gave you everything you think that you would need. A perfect garden, Eden, you had everything. And you fractured that because you wanted more. You wanted something different. You wanted something other than me. And that's the same pursuit that we're doing. We're always searching for something else. And when we get it, it's not enough. And we have to keep searching, keep searching, keep searching. We give it to God fully, daily, personally. God doesn't need your performance. God wants your heart. What was the play? And once God has your heart, everything else falls into place. So today, before you serve, before you plan, before you lead, love Him. Because mission always begins with a relationship, and the relationship always begins with love. Father, we don't want to serve you without loving you. So stir our hearts, Father, to love you deeply and daily. Help us not to substitute activity for intimacy, but fill us with a love that overflows into everything that we do. Father, let our mission, our life's mission, begin with a surrendered heart. Teach us to love you, Father, with all that we are, our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.